Sometimes I just feel like sharing the mundane of bushwandering. Those parts that are not particularly interesting or educational or dramatic. But it is part of wilderness experience, like the front door key is part of urban living. It is the things like the careful checking of the vehicle at stops, the routine of finding a campsite, of preparing for the night, of having meals and so on. The daily bush routine is such a thing. In the African wilderness, though, it turns out to be more like a framework than a routine. When I am on extended foot safaris, I like to break out of my overnight camp early, while traces of night still linger in the denser tangles. It is the time when those bush dwellers that live the anxious life of prey begin to shake off the terror of the night predators. They seem cheerful and animated, as if they are grateful for having made it through. It is their most active time, when they skip around and play and feed and mate and so on. A few predators could still be active too. There might just be a last opportunity to kill in the half light. Leopards often inform the bush of their presence with their grunting. It's like a handsaw drawn through wood. And lions may roll their mighty roars over the savannah. It is altogether a wonderful time of the day, cool and fresh, awash in bird song, bubbling with optimism and anticipation and brimming with stories of the night and the splendor of sunrise. Towards late morning, animal life slows down. By midday, it lingers withdrawn from the heat in pools of shade. Some animals will visit waterholes over these hot hours to cool down and to slake the thirst from the morning's heat. It's about the safest time for them, actually, with the big predators lapsed into dreamy inaction. Most start to become more active later in the afternoon. They do a last bit of feeding and begin to move towards their favorite overnight areas. Some will hide in dense shrubs. Others will gather in open areas where their collective eyes have a better chance of spotting predators. Warthogs will seek their burrows. These are usually old and bare diggings. Baboons will move into trees or steep cliffs. Daytime snakes creep into hollows under rocks or logs, and wide formations of birds shift across the sky to their roosts. Yes, and the night predators rise from their daytime languor, and they stretch and yawn white and pink at the sitting sun, and they begin to drift into their hunt. I like to follow this ancient routine too. Start at dawn, stop for breakfast after 2 hours or so, then midway through the morning for tea. The hot midday hours we spend resting in the shade. And then it's the afternoon trek. When the sun starts to dip towards the treetops, we must find a suitable camping spot and prepare for the night. We day creatures need to take care if we want to survive the predators of the darkness. Preparations will depend on place and situation. If we are reasonably sure from the signs we had picked up over the afternoon that there are no dangerous predators around, it is simple. We focus on some personal comfort. If the contrary is true, personal comfort comes after being safe. I sleep in a hammock or on the ground, and my camp companions do too, so we need to be careful. If I have enough people with me, all that is needed, besides common sense and normal vigilance, is enough wood to last the night and sitting watch turns from bedtime till dawn. If I am alone, I have found that frequently getting up to keep a fire going interferes too much with sleep. The best measure to me is a simple alarm that I string on a fishing line around the campsite. That and a good torch and a firearm if I have one, or the bullwhip to crack where necessary. However, if I become aware of dangerous predators hanging around my camp, I may go the way of discretion rather than valor, and spend the night in the cab of the vehicle. If I'm without the vehicle, It's both fish alarms and fire, and very little sleep. I tend to have only two meals a day. Breakfast, which usually consists of maize meal porridge with meat, if we have, for my African companions. Sometimes I opt for muesli, moistened with water. My African companions seem to find this rather weird. Through the course of the day, I may chew on some nuts that I take along in my pouch, or we may get lucky to find berries or yams or wild honey. But bush food takes a lot of time to find, and it has very little nutrition usually. The evening meal receives a bit more attention. My companions usually prefer porridge again with meat or fish, else something meaty from a tin. I often have the same, or some freeze-dried preparation. My African companions detest this, but I take along some. It is nutritious, it's light to carry and easy to prepare. But this is a routine that is easily and often deviated from, as necessity or curiosity dictates. In fact, few days in the African bush ever turn out as anticipated.